everyone. Welcome back to My Therapist Said. Whoop, whoop.
The unimaginable day has come.
Of our return.
We're back.
We're back. So I think first things first, I think we owe our audience a really big fat apology for basically disappearing.
Right. I'm so sorry. We both abandoned you, basically.
So we did post on our Instagram before the summer. I think it was end of June or something. We did post that we would make a summer break and just take some time off. However, that summer break got extended and now it's mid-October and we are back. So thank you so much for everyone who was patient and waiting, and we got some really, really sweet messages if the podcast is going to continue, etc. And we are here to update you and tell you what has been going on in the last months.
Yeah, so a lot has been going on, actually. I just got back to Vienna. I was in New York for, like, I don't even know, 7 months or something?
Yeah. This is actually crazy because the last episodes that you guys listened to were all recorded remotely.
Sorry about the sound quality.
Yeah, the sound quality was not the best. But we still managed to record. Mm-hmm. But now Lola and I are actually sitting in the same room in Vienna. So that's pretty crazy.
In the same apartment where it all started.
Where it all started. And Lola is back, and she was in New York since February and had to manage some visa green card situations.
Yeah, those are all resolved, if you were wondering.
And we have absolutely no topic or plan, I think, what we're going to talk about today, but rather just thought it's time to give you a little update and explain where we've been and what we've been up to, and also maybe just brainstorm what the podcast is going to look like in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting, actually, because we started doing the podcast on a very similar path. Like, we're both doing the same thing. We both study psychotherapy.
We're both in therapy.
We're both in therapy. But now it took, like, I don't know, a bit of a twist because you are actually working with patients.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not even in therapy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of decided that I don't want to be a therapist. Yeah, I think a lot of things changed for me while I was in New York, which is not in any way like an indicator of I think it's bullshit or I don't like the topic or whatever. I still love psychoanalysis. I still love psychotherapy. I'm just more interested in how you can use it in your everyday life, which is something that is also what we've been doing here. Like, this is what the whole podcast is about, and it's about kind of using our education and the things that we've learned to navigate just everyday things. And I'm still, like, very, very interested in that.
Yeah, exactly. I even remember when we had the idea of starting the podcast, and this is, like, now 1.5 years ago.
Crazy.
We had the idea of making a podcast, and I remember we were both like, okay, we really like the idea of just having a podcast, but what would it be about? And then there was a phase, I remember, when we brainstormed, and it was just about, well, we could just talk about topics that people in their 20s maybe encounter, but from a perspective of people who have been in a lot of therapy and are on a daily basis confronted with psychotherapy or just reflecting constantly, and both being people that really overthink a lot. And maybe also now the podcast is going to turn more into this direction again, as you say, of more like applying psychotherapy, what we've learned in our therapies, in our studies, etc., to just everyday situations or things we go through. But we don't really know yet, and we'll just see where it takes us. But I think it's really crazy that, and crazy not in either positive or negative sense, but just interesting that you were so taken out of your everyday life in Vienna, because for those who don't know, Lola literally had to go to New York within like 5 days or something. Mm-hmm. You had to pack your bags, go, and you didn't know how long you would be gone. And you were gone for 7 months, which is really long.
Yeah, and I thought it would be like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I remember you said like, yeah, probably going to be back in like 2-3 weeks. And then you were gone for 7 months. So needless to say that that must have also been just a really crazy and difficult time. But looking back, it must be insane because I remember you told me that it definitely also brought up some change within you, and that you probably wouldn't have realized that maybe you don't want to be a therapist if it hadn't been for that time.
Yeah, honestly, it was like weird, random situations, and I'm really, really thankful for them. But I randomly found like a job online. I went to the interview, I got the job, and I started working at a hotel. And it's crazy because when you're in this bubble, especially like in psychoanalysis, you're only talking about how to use techniques and how to use theory in a therapy setting. Like sometimes we talk about something that's a little bit past that, which is like, I don't know, in a psychosocial setting or in a place where, whatever. It's always places where people are seeking some kind of treatment. And for me, the craziest thing was I started this job at a hotel, and obviously it's not for mentally ill people. It wasn't a hotel for
it was not a rehab.
Yeah, people who suffer from mental illness. But I was just like, holy shit, like the things that I've learned and the tools that I've gotten and everything that I've done so far has really, really prepared me to be really good at this. And it was really surprising for me. And also the feedback that I got from everybody that I worked for and worked with was like, whoa, you're so good at dealing with people. This is insane. And to realize that, like, because I always had this fear, like, what if I don't want to be a therapist? Like, is my education going to be a complete waste of time? Like, I've been doing this for so long. I always have this fear, like, I'm just going to throw 5 years in the garbage and whatever. But it's so not garbage. And I think that's also something, like, really, really cool for people to know if they are interested in psychotherapy or even psychoanalysis and they want to study it or they want to learn more about it but don't necessarily see a career in psychoanalysis. That's the one thing that I really, really discovered over the last like 6 months. It can help you with literally anything. Like, you really just, like, we need to like think a little bit more outside the box. It was so, so useful.
I think what you're saying there also touches upon something really important, which I think we encounter a lot, is that now, for example, I am officially a therapist now, which is, of course, very different and really crazy. And I've been working and it's been going great. And now I encounter so many people who immediately tell me their thoughts on therapy, what they've also done before, etc. But basically what I hear very often is that, oh, you know, I would love to go to therapy, but I don't really have anything on my mind right now. And I get that. I think everyone has their time and their place if they want to go to therapy, that they will. I don't think everyone needs to start therapy like right away, even though I think everyone can benefit from it. But what I mean is that prevention is always better than treatment. And if someone is genuinely interested in starting therapy, it's never a waste of time. Also for said reasons that you just mentioned, it's you always learn something that you can apply either to yourself or just to your everyday life, to your environment. So if you have been interested in therapy, in psychology, anything like that, but you almost feel guilty because you're like, there's nothing really I can talk about, or I don't really have any acute problems, etc. But you're interested, and still go for it. I promise you, it will not be a waste of time because you will learn new things and you will be able, hopefully, to apply them. And that's also something that makes this field so interesting. Because it changes the way you not only see yourself, but also your environment and other people and relationships in general.
Yeah, it was crazy. And to be thrown into a completely different environment, but still feel like so prepared and somehow like you've been trained to deal with whatever happens there was such a good feeling. Especially because, like, you know, when you're working with people who are mentally ill, who especially like in a psychiatric setting, you're not going to get good feedback because you have to understand that you're not going to solve anyone's problems in, you know, a few weeks, or it's very hard. And I can understand why so many people experience things like burnout in those situations. And I really, really admire them for doing it, because the amount of good feedback that you get is so little. And to be in an environment where I was constantly getting good feedback, I feel like it was almost like, sometimes I think it was almost like a selfish move of me, because now I'm like, oh wait, I can work somewhere where people are constantly telling me that I'm amazing and that everything I do is so great. And I was like, I like this. And also with guests, like people would send me gifts and like thank you cards, and I was like, okay,
that's so nice.
This is nice. Yeah,
that is so nice. It's true, like when you work as a therapist, there is no way of, it sounds so dumb, but there is actually no real way of knowing if you're doing a good job.
Yeah,
because I mean, of course your clients, patients, whatever you want to call them, might give you feedback in the sense of thank you really helped me a lot, da da da, or this, like you kind of catch on to things and you realize obviously if the therapy is working, quote unquote, or if it's developing in the way that you want it. But also it's a process and you have to trust it and trust your skills. But basically at the end of the day, in this room, it's you and the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no observer who can say, yeah, oh, you're doing a good job here, you know what I mean? So you kind of have to really trust your instincts and trust your skills and the whole process of therapy. So basically you really, really have to believe in the power of therapy.
Yes.
And conversation and reflection, etc., because otherwise, yeah, it's true, this like positive feedback is really missing. And I imagine that must have been really, really different and really nice for
you. Oh my
you.
God, it was crazy.
Dude, sometimes, now that you're saying it, I'm like, damn, like that sounds so nice.
No, but I mean, if you also said that you're interested in working in like a different, yeah, environment, yeah. I think, yeah, anywhere where you have colleagues and you're working in more of like a group setting, you're going to get that feedback. And that's something that I really, really noticed. Maybe I'm not strong enough to be by myself and work by myself and trust that my skills are sufficient, but it was important for me to realize that I definitely need that.
Yeah.
Like, I need people to tell me I'm doing a good job. Maybe I don't need it, but I really enjoyed it, and I think it would give me a better quality of life just on a daily basis. And there's nothing embarrassing about that, or like, it doesn't mean that I'm, well, maybe it does mean that I'm too weak, but that's fine. That's,
no,
okay.
But also it is just the fact that all of us, every single person here has been a child, and mm-hmm. as kids, we always want validation.
Definitely.
We always want love and validation from our caregivers, from people in our environment, and we all still are a little child somewhere within us. So of course we all want external validation, and no one can tell me that hearing from someone else like you're doing well or a great job or something is,
yeah,
something they don't care about, because it is always a good feeling.
Yeah, of course.
And that's completely normal, so I totally get it. It's nice. So what else have you been up to this summer, or the last, yeah, let's say this summer.
Yeah, let's say this summer.
I mean, I guess you told me you worked a lot.
I worked a lot. So mainly I just worked. I also fit in some dating, of course. That's the way that I roll. I dated a few people. Nothing worked out. I do have to say, though, something that therapy has done for me is that, I know I've said this before on the podcast, but it's crazy how fast I can get out of like a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive. Like, it's becoming shorter and shorter. Like, I still get in them, of course, because I don't know, I feel like that's never gonna change. Maybe I won't get in them, but I'm always gonna be seduced by people who are not good for me. And I think we can all say that.
Mm.
They don't have to be bad people, but you're always going to be seduced by people who are not good for you. And I don't think that's something that you have to eliminate. And I don't think it means that you're not doing a good job if it doesn't happen. But yeah, I definitely dated some characters, and it was all kinds of people. But I have to say the common theme here is definitely narcissism, which, again, not a surprise. Although I think the most recent one was not really a narcissism, but more of just like extreme anxiety, and loss, which is another strange thing about me. I don't know if we've told you this, but I somehow always date people who lost a parent very recently.
Yeah, and when Lola says always, guys, I've been here for like years and I've witnessed this. It's really, it's not like two people in the past years.
Many.
It's really like almost every single person. It's getting to a point where it's really, really crazy.
It's very crazy. I think there's something comforting about me, and I'm somebody who, when you meet me, hopefully, you know that I'm not judgmental and that I won't be harsh, or I don't know what it is. But yeah, these people always come to me, and it happened again. But yeah, the dating thing, I think the one that hurt me the most was the drug addict, who I'm sure won't listen to this because he ghosted me. But this guy came into the hotel and we started dating. And I was like very, very, very into him, of course, because he was completely fucked up. But it's really crazy. Like, I feel like this will never go away. The feeling that, I won't say for everyone, but the feeling that I have when I first kind of like get together with these people who represent like everything that's bad for me, these really disturbed people, the feeling that you get where you just feel like you're home and like you feel like everything makes sense and everything is okay again, of course, because it's a familiar feeling and that's what I was around when I was small. But that feeling, it's weird because it's almost like a drug, and he was a drug addict. But I was very, very emotionally invested in him, even though I didn't act like it and I didn't really admit it. But he basically was addicted to cocaine, and I only found that out like in the middle of us dating. And he just had no room for me. Like, there was absolutely no space for me to be in his life. And it was very, very heartbreaking, having to kind of split away from him. And also, like, for me, I would think about him because I saw how much he was using, and also his best friend died from an overdose, like, very right before I met him. So not a parent, but a best friend. And for me, I would have these thoughts, like, when I would go to sleep and I would think about, like, what if he's dead because I didn't hear from him. And now it's been, like, a few weeks that I haven't heard from him. And I still, like, once a day think, like, I wonder if he died or something.
That's really intense.
Yeah.
And I mean, I cannot relate because I haven't had a similar situation with someone like this, but I can totally relate to my summer, in the sense that also I, at the beginning of the summer, met someone that I started dating, and it was actually the first person that I really liked in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, as in really liked, I've dated people that I really liked, but as in someone that I could see myself with. And it just didn't work out. And it was really, really painful.
Yeah.
Like, really painful. And I hadn't experienced that kind of pain in a long time. And I'm glad I, you know, let myself also feel these things. And also, as you said, I didn't really necessarily, I think, act in the way that this person would know.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to the point where I would tell him the way that I feel because we weren't dating for that long. But sometimes you just notice that you develop certain feelings, and it was so crazy and it was so nice, but at the same time, so fucking scary. And then it was really painful when it didn't work out. But I think it's important to share that because everyone has these moments. And when you go through it, I think it's such a fucked up feeling. And you really think, like, I don't know how about you, but I really think, even if it's someone I don't know that well, but you think, I'm never going to feel this way again.
Yeah.
You know, I finally met someone.
Yeah.
That I like, and it doesn't work out for whatever reason, and it's all messed up. And for me, it was also a person that really fit my type.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just doesn't work out, and you're like, this is hopeless. It's never gonna be someone who I'm into and that also likes me back in that way. But then I feel like the feeling passes, and slowly you, I don't know, get back to life. But I think everyone out there who has ever been single knows that feeling, and it's fucked up and it's really, really shit. And to be honest, I have not fully recovered.
Yeah, me either.
And I wonder if you ever fully recover. It really made me think, like, sometimes I think about this person and yeah. I think about also my ex-boyfriend where it didn't work out. And I wonder, do you ever fully get over someone?
No.
Or will there always in your life, even if you're like maybe not in that super in love phase with someone, but throughout your life you will always have these memories of these people and think like, oh, I just wonder what would have happened if we had dated. You know what I mean?
Well, Carla, you're a psychoanalyst.
It's Friday afternoon as we're recording.
You're a psychoanalyst.
I'm off duty.
So, of course, you never recover because you, I don't know, maybe you forget or it becomes less or you don't think about it as much, but you're just basically like making those things more unconscious. And I think they stay with you forever. And that's also why the more you go through these relationships, like, the more your behavior differs when you're going into new relationships, because at least like me, I feel like I'm more prepared, but that would only be possible if those past things never left me, because there's still somehow like a part of every new relationship.
True. And then I also think, and I think this is really important to talk about openly. And I think this is also why we make jokes that we always come back to dating also on the podcast and stuff. But I find it quite difficult to openly talk, to find other singles, male, mm-hmm. female, whatever, to openly talk really about also the struggles of dating and the struggles of being single. And it's not just always fun, etc. And I just, when this happened this summer for me, it really made me think a lot. And this is so weird, but I just had this epiphany, which is really not that crazy. But I sat there and I really thought, like, this is what dating is.
Yeah.
This is it. This is it. Like, you're always gonna have to put yourself out there. You're always gonna meet new people. And either you're gonna be heartbroken or you're gonna be indifferent, which is not really a good sign either. Or it's gonna work out.
But or you have to break their heart.
Or like, you have to break your heart, which is also not fun or a nice feeling. But what I'm saying is it's always going to be the same process, and you cannot let these things hold you back, even though I'm saying this and it definitely keeps holding me back to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, as a single person, you will always have to put yourself out there again and again and again and just try and try and try. You know, there's no way of getting anything if you don't risk it. But it's really hard. I don't know. And I just didn't expect, I think, that it would be that impacted by this, by these few months.
I think we've gotten to some points where we met up and we talked about what we should do for the next episode. And we both we're kind of like, okay, let's not do dating again. Like, we can't do it every single time. But it's also it is also the, like, event of our age. Like, this is what we're supposed to be doing right now. If we were 16, this podcast would look much different. It would be about, like, I think it would be more about, like, friendships and school and what we want to do in the future and whatever. Even though that is still what we're talking about, like, this is exactly the milestone that we're trying to get to right now in our age.
Yeah.
Same thing as if we were doing this and we were in our 50s, it would look a lot different, hopefully. Hopefully. I don't want to promise that, but when we are 50 and we're still doing this podcast, when we get to episode 6050, it will be different.
Yeah, and I think also that there are many, many podcasts out there or YouTube videos that are specifically about dating and sex and etc. And we don't do that. You know, we are a podcast with an underlying theme, I'd say, about therapy and mental health and just reflection in general. But as you say, dating slash lack thereof is just a part of our lives, and we come at it from a different angle, and we cannot give you tips on how to date or do this and do that, but it's more also about insecurities around the topic or difficulties or experiences, and just through sharing, hopefully creating a space where, you know, you just don't feel so alone with your issues, because this is something that I really struggle with, and I think everyone knows this. When you go through something, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be dating related. I think the worst feeling in this world is always thinking that you're alone with this. Definitely. And no one else understands it, and no one else has gone through it, and we're here to tell you whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, chances are very high that either one of us or someone else listening to this has had a similar experience. So let's talk about it.
I think that's why it's also so nice for me, especially, to do this podcast, because we're so different. I feel like we represent, like,
we're very different.
The two opposites. So if you're listening to this, there's a high chance that you will kind of connect with what one of us is saying. Yeah. So I feel like it reaches, like, a broad audience. But to change the topic, there is one other thing that we're very obsessed with, that we talk about at least once every time we meet up.
What we would do if we were to be billionaires overnight?
Yes.
Seriously? Okay, guys, you have to imagine.
You do realize that we talk about this every single time.
This is true. This is so funny. You have to imagine. Okay, Lola came back like a week ago, and today is the second time we've seen each other in like 7 months.
Yeah.
And yes, we've also spoken on the phone, obviously, quite a bit, but it's the second time we see each other. And for the first hour, we talked about, not catching up, we talked about what would you do and what gift would you give me if you, for some weird reason, were to become a billionaire overnight.
Billionaire overnight. So tomorrow you wake up and you have €1 billion.
Yes.
Not even dollars.
And you want to share that money and that joy with your good friend. And but you also don't want to be too generous.
Exactly.
So the first gift is like for, what did we say?
I think 10,000. No, five.
We said like 5,000 euros, which is nothing, obviously, for a billionaire.
No, it's like a penny.
But it's also not like for an occasion. It's not like I'm a billionaire now and it's Lola's birthday. But like I'm a billionaire, Lola. So here's a gift because we're happy about this.
Exactly. So you wake up, you're a billionaire. You call your best friend. Or
wait.
Your group of friends, and you say, guys, I'm a billionaire now, and this is what I'm gonna give you, just as a little.
But you know, actually, now that you said that, I think if for some reason this would happen, it's best to not share it with people, because then news travels and then someone will rob you.
Okay, right.
But okay, we talked about this.
So you say, I'm a millionaire now,
right? Because okay, sure.
I'm a thousandaire.
And we really discussed what we would give each other for like 5,000 euros. And you know what Lola said? Please tell them what you would give me. And I was like, I'm not sure if this is a gift.
Oh, I would send you to a singles boot camp?
How is that a gift? I thought you were going to say, like, I'm going to send you 3 weeks to Costa Rica and this spa. She's like, I send you to a singles boot camp. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, first I was thinking like a retreat, like a very, very luxurious retreat.
Yeah.
Week, just relax, do your thing. But then I was like, you know what? We can make this more practical.
Mm. But this is a really fun, like, thought experiment. Let us know, guys, what you would give your friend for 5,000 euros.
Yeah, let us know. Or if you want to, if you're feeling generous.
Yeah, if any of you are billionaires, we can totally hit you up with our bank accounts.
If you are a billionaire and you have any advice for us or...
how to become one.
If you have like a million and you're just, you don't know what to do with it.
You know, it's interesting that neither of us thought about investing it into the podcast. You know, neither of us was like,
buying a studio.
We could buy a studio.
No. But you know what? We're humble. We would keep our setup.
Yes.
We would keep doing our thing.
Sure. We would buy followers for like 5,000 euros.
Oh my God, no. You know what I would do, actually? I would buy an audience.
Yeah.
Like a live audience.
Oh, so we have a live event.
Yes.
Could you like do a casting before?
Oh my God,
and yes. It's only like really attractive people?
Yes. And I would rent like... an arena.
Mm. Stadthalle. It's like really a lot of people. And you come onto the stage waving and everyone's like freaking out. But before you gave everyone instructions, like when I come onto stage, you need to like go bananas. Like you need to scream. You need to throw yourselves onto the stage.
Oh my God, yes. And I wouldn't tell you.
You would
that I paid for it.
And you would also
would
tell them
gift.
That if I come onto stage, there would be dead silence. Just be when you enter the stage, and then when I am, it's like quiet, and I'm like,
Okay, you know what? That would be my gift to you. I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, that would
that
be
I
really
bought
good.
It.
Yeah,
but I would set up this whole event and
that
make
would
you
be,
think that we're famous.
That would be really fucking funny. Okay, then I know what I would get you. I would get actors to approach you on the street and be like, "Oh my God, are you Lola from my therapist set?" But
that
I would,
happened to me.
No, but I would get like, 50 people over like a year. You know what I mean?
That's amazing. I love that.
And you would be so paranoid. No, but you would be so paranoid. You
True.
Would be like, what is happening? How
True.
Do these people know where I am? But it actually did happen to
it
you.
It happened to me. Can you believe it?
I actually can't.
I still can't.
In Vienna, at the post office,
dude,
right?
I went to the fucking post office and I was wearing a mask. And this girl, she's like, "Hey, I'm sorry. Like, do you mind if I ask you something?" And I, of course, was super paranoid. And I was just like, what? And she was just like, "Are you Lola from my therapist?" And I was just like, "No way. This is crazy." And I was so happy.
Please. If this person is listening, can
thank
you let
you
us...
And let
yes,
us know
thank
you.
Let
are.
Us know who you are. Because Lola told me this. And frankly, I did not believe her.
Oh my
I
God.
Thought she was hallucinating.
No! Please text us. You're probably listening.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe now a little bit about the future of the podcast or thoughts we have. Basically, when Lola came back, we met and we were discussing the podcast and how we wanted to continue, etc. And... a few things are gonna change for sure, simply because, listen, we love doing the podcast and it's so much fun, but also it is a lot of work and it's work we love to do.
Yeah, but we also started in lockdown. So
we started in lockdown, exactly.
Yeah.
We hardly had anything to do and we were really, you know, like, okay, one episode a week, one topic a week, and we prepared it and we met for recording, etc. And then also I think while you were in New York... we kind of realized, okay, there it was also the time difference added to it, but still, like, you were working so much, and I also started working, and finding the time to record, but also doing the Instagram and stuff. It was just really busy, and it was really stressful, and I feel like if you get really stressed about something, you also don't really enjoy doing it that much.
Right.
So now we probably will record less often. We will not manage to upload an episode every single week.
I think we also don't have to, like, commit to any kind of time frame. Like, we always let everyone know when we have a new episode.
Yeah.
It's not going to be once every 3 months.
No.
Like, it's not going to be like that.
Once a year.
It's just going to be like, we're really going to try to find the time. And if we don't have it, we're not going to stress about yeah. it. And we'll be back soon. You know, yes. like it's not.
Yeah, but it will be more than once every 3 months, but it will be less than once a week. Definitely. Let's put it at that. Hopefully, like, we will find a certain sense of rhythm, maybe like once a month. Maybe there's phases when it's like every other week and et cetera.
Which is, I think, better too, because like I've been looking at the numbers of people listening to episodes and I feel like people really caught up.
Yeah.
Like now.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Our recent ones have like much more listens. And I think it's also hard to listen to a podcast like
absolutely.
A new episode every single week. So some totally. People don't want to do that.
Totally. So. And I think also we will have a similar approach to topics. Like, I think what we did until now was really cool, where we always chose a topic and really talked about it. And it had this very educational factor almost, by hopefully also being entertaining and applicable.
Yeah.
And I think if there is a topic that we really want to talk about that has just been a thing, you know, a big part of this week or whatever that we were thinking a lot, then we will definitely talk about it. But maybe there will also be more episodes like this where we just chat and we see what's up and what we can share. And
yeah,
I mean, Lola and I are always super in sync with our like emotional problems. It's really so weird. Like, you know how many people like have their periods in sync? Yeah,
we have our breakups in sync.
We have our breakups in sync. We have our issues in sync. We have our crises in sync. Yes,
definitely. But I do have a topic actually for the future. And this was a suggestion because I met up with a friend of ours yesterday and I have a slight problem where I watch a little bit too much reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about these shows and I think she was getting a little bored, and she was like, why don't you do an episode about a reality show and like do some things about like group dynamics or like mm-hmm. try to like pull it apart a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really funny.
Yeah, I think if you guys have topics that you're interested in that you would like us to talk about, please let us know. And they also don't need to be topics as in narcissism or addiction. They can also be like just questions that have been on your mind. You know, oh, I was thinking about, does everyone have this or this? Or do you guys experience this or this? This can also be a topic and we never have issues talking about something for a long time. So if there's anything on your mind that you're interested in hearing us talk about, please let us know. And there will be weeks when we have specific topics or ideas and others when we just chat. So basically the future of the podcast is just going to be a bit more flexible, I would say,
definitely.
Until now. And maybe also a bit more diverse in terms of topics.
And I just have a short announcement.
Everything. Please.
everybody, please listen. We are actually hiring an intern. So
yes.
We're going to take applications through our Instagram. Just send us a DM with your resume.
Your resume being your name and age.
your resume basically letting us know that you'll do it. And yeah, we'll let you know in the next episode who will be our intern.
Yeah. And Lola saying that is kind of, I'd say, half a joke, but half serious. But if you guys know any like tips and tricks how to basically grow your Instagram with as little effort as possible.
Yeah, or if you please, have like a little sister.
If you have a little sister, a cousin who has time and wants to do it, or if you yourself have, I don't know, been working in a business or grown your personal Instagram with some help, but like little effort, you know what I mean? Like,
we sound so lazy, I swear.
It's not like we're that lazy, but we're also, this is not our job and we want the podcast to be the podcast and the Instagram is something we have to do and it's fun. But also I dare to say that neither of us wants to spend 4 hours a day posting, thinking what to post, how to post, what to
and
like, what
honestly,
to comment.
We're not very good at it because it's not our field. But
yeah. So if you have any tips, tricks, and or relatives that could help us, please hit us up.
It will be an internship. We can both write them a nice recommendation.
We cannot pay.
No, we can't pay. But they'll get two recommendations. And it's a real podcast.
So that's that. That's everything for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We certainly enjoyed recording again. And we're really looking forward to future episodes. And we hope that you will tune in again.
Yes. Great to be back.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.